Life can be bewildering at times, can it not? It's not too difficult to try to figure out where that word came from. You're walking along, just living the dream, and then without warning, suddenly you find yourself in the wilderness, bewildered once again. Carrie, Allie, Charlie have done a great job of just leading us through this trek that the children of Israel had to take on the way to the promised land, but detoured because of their own lack of faith into the wilderness for 40 years. Now, the interesting thing about that is it's become sort of a parable, the rest of Scripture, talking about that experience as the kind of thing that you and I go through, sometimes daily, as we find ourselves living a wilderness experience. It might be an email at work. It might be a phone call from the doctor, a slip on the ice. A million ways that your day can go wrong, your year go awry, and you find yourself in the wilderness. Your best laid plans are now in the recycle bin. And Deuteronomy 8 gives us a great perspective on what we do when that happens. If you can picture Moses, a wizened old professor, he's up in front of the class, mediocre students, maybe a bit like you and me, and he is addressing them. Now, let's review for the finals. You all flunked last time. So listen, take notes even. And he begins, Deuteronomy 8. I want to start with that last verse, verse 5. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Now, it may be just my problem, but I'm going to inflict it on you anyway. When I read that, the Lord your God disciplines you, what I think is, all right, David, you've been bad, and I'm going to punish you. But that's only maybe part of what that Hebrew word is talking about. It's about discipling. It's about learning the disciplines of life. Punishment sometimes is part of it, but often not. What God is wanting to do, my first point, is just he wants us to embrace the disciplines that God wants to develop in us. When I was in high school, my ticket to the promised land was basketball. I don't know how many times people have said, "You're tall. You must play basketball." And I always felt fortunate that I did, but don't ever say that to all people, because if they haven't, you always hate to disappoint people. Well, junior varsity basketball tryouts, must have been 100 kids, because people loved that coach. But that coach hated to cut anybody, so he would make the practices, the tryouts, so brutal that most people self-selected out. But he took several of us that were 6'4 and above, and he gave us jump ropes. And he said, while everybody else is catching their breath between drills all lined up, he says, "You guys jump rope." It was brutal. It was torture. But was it punishment? No. We were the envy of everybody in that gym, because the coach had hopes for us. But that was our discipline that we had to endure. You find yourself bewildered and asking God, why? Well, your first answer to that question is God wants to coach you up. And in verse 2 of Deuteronomy 8, we see a little bit of how God coaches you up, where he says, Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. And then again in verse 3, he says, he humbled you. Embracing the wilderness is about understanding that you have to embrace the disciplines that God wants to develop, but it's also about embracing the humbling that God gives us, the humbling that goes with that. Now, if you ask the average person about the top educational experiences they aspire to, chances are humbling doesn't make the list, but maybe it should. You know, my preferred way of learning is God just tell me what to do. Problem is, he does, and I don't do it, so he has to humble me. And I think too often we equate humbling with being humiliated, and really, usually being humiliated is the result of our lack of learning from being humbled, if you think back. So embrace humbling as a necessary part of growing, of becoming all that God created you to be. And remember this, okay, we've already learned, the humbling of the children of Israel was one of their highest experiences of learning. What did they get? They got the Ten Commandments. They got the law. It was God's best practices for life. In fact, the rest of Scripture is either illustrating that, or in the New Testament, it's Jesus, Apostle Paul, all explaining more fully how you apply those truths that the children of Israel learned in the wilderness of who God is and who men and women were created to be. All happened because they were humbled in the wilderness. Well, for me, basketball ended, and so I moved on to focus on another ticket to the promised land, marital bliss. And I found the most beautiful, enchanting woman, and I began to court her, and it was touch and go for a little while. But I finally persuaded her. And some 51 years, going on 52 years ago, we said, I do. Both of us bought tickets to the wilderness, to the promised land. And the whole church put us on that train. And we took off. And when we got off at the destination, we looked around and, yeah, we were in the wilderness. It wasn't what we expected. You see, the problem was, I married her because she was going to make my life complete. And she kind of thought she was marrying me because I would make her life complete. Now, that's a formula something has to give. And it did. The preacher had pronounced us one flesh, but we found ourselves miles, miles apart. And God was humbling us, especially me. I thought I knew what love was all about. But what I knew is that I desperately wanted to be loved. And I didn't have a clue how to love somebody, especially how God loves us. It was a lot of hard nights. Sitting, talking, trying to understand each other. I've done a lot of premarital counseling over the years, and one of the hardest things usually is to convince starstruck lovers that marriage is humbling. I still haven't met anybody who said, well, I'm so looking forward to be married because I know it's going to be humbling to me. But it is. It's the last of our expectations, but the first of the realities of it. And when you think about it, what sort of mountaintop experience comes without a lot of hard climbing to get there? So it was 3 years of tough work, up and down experiences. I can remember after about 3 years thinking, I think we're starting to get the hang of this. It was after 5 years that, you see these beautiful sleeping babies somebody shows you and cute little toddlers running around. Thought, it's about time maybe we had one of those cute little things running around our house. And once again, bought tickets to the promised land. And God gave us this beautiful, precious, adorable little tyrant. And I think Nancy was much more prepared for this than I was, but suddenly the two of us were just scurrying around the house trying to satisfy her every whim, and half the time we had no idea what that whim was. It was bewildering. And God was discipling us. He was humbling us, bringing us to the end of ourselves, mostly me. And so many lessons those years of parroting. Here's just one. We used to have these black vinyl discs that put music on. And they worked really well until you got a big scratch on one, and then every time it came around to that scratch. And so God teaches us to be good stewards of our possessions, and I was trying to be good steward of our records, mainly my records, and rescuing them from my children, okay? And my wife says to me, "You care more about those records than you do our children." So, in those kind of times, you're trying to fish around, figure out a good thing to say, regain your pride, but I failed totally. I couldn't come up with one, because she was right. And parenting, if it's nothing else, it's about coming to the end of yourself, being humbled, realizing, I got to learn, I got to grow. I'm not really quite up to this. Embrace the humbling. Deuteronomy 8, remember in verse 5, it talks about likening God's discipline of us to parental discipline. I think a lot of what parental human parenting is about, that discipline, is about convincing your children that it's not all about them. That the world is just not all about them. But I think as good as that parenting, as good of parents as you might have had or I might have, that job is never completely done. We grow up, we get a little more sophisticated about hiding it, but deep down when push comes to shove, we all really think it ought to be about us. And that's why, repeatedly in our lives, we keep having to be humbled. We keep doing what we know we shouldn't, what we know God has expressly instructed us not to, and we do it anyway. And then, we're brought up short and humbled to realize it's not all about us, it's about Him. Embrace the humbling. Don't fight it. Now, two additional points. Unless anybody here thinks that I'm trying to take a jab at my wife or at my family, I have been blessed. I can't imagine anybody being more blessed than I have from my family. But here's the truth. God's greatest blessings often require the greatest change, greatest growing, the greatest challenge in your life and mine. That's the truth. And we aspire to these blessings without realizing there's a cost that comes with them. That cost is you got to grow up now. You got to become a better person to be able just to handle the blessings that God is giving you. And the other thing I want to say here is that I've used illustrations about marriage and family. It's not just about marriage and family. Some of my single friends I've observed, and they have some of the same experiences in the kind of committed friendships that they have with other singles often or with married people. It can be from your work environment. It can be a roommate. It can be, you know, a lot of times we are too much of a hurry to get out of difficult relationships. And I've had this experience, maybe you've had it, in a small group, a committed small group, and you're looking around, getting to know everybody, and you think, boy, I'm looking forward to getting to know that person, and this is going to be fun, that person, and you look at that person, and you say, And I can't tell you how many times as I've gotten into the group and as God is working in our hearts and as we're getting to know each other and we're sharing life and wrestling with all of those issues, and that person that I said, becomes, And that person, sometimes the person that most richly affects me, that God uses to change me, that I'm so grateful to get to know them. I can be so ugly sometimes, first impressions, not realizing what God wants to do. You see, that's what a church is. A church is bringing all sorts of people at different parts in their walk of life together that God wants to do life in and use each other in our lives to grow us, to become more of what we are created to be. My third point, embracing this lifetime testing that God brings us to build faith. Remember again verse 2 in Deuteronomy 8:2. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. You never graduate from God's discipling until heaven, which is really the ultimate promised land. But if you read the biblical story and you see what happened to children of Israel, when they finally did enter the promised land, they still had many challenges, forced them to develop new disciplines, humbled them. They were tested time and time again. See, none of the tickets to the promised land that we tend to embrace give us heaven. We expect them to, but they never do. Tastes of heaven, perhaps, but not heaven. Heaven comes later. So another ticket to the promised land that I bought was becoming a pastor. I thought that'd be fun. I know God called me to that, and it was incredible. But long story short, God dropped me into pastoring, being senior pastor of a great church. It was well known. It exceeded every ambition I would have ever had. But great churches have great problems. They always do. And the reason is that it's filled with people like you and me. And one of the problems this church had was me as their senior pastor. You know, we're in the process of looking for a pastor, so This will give you an insight into what kind of pastor you might get. So it was after a horrible, absolutely horrible elders meeting. And one of the elders, who I knew very well, took me aside and he said, "David, you're blowing it." And I said, "How?" And he said, "You are so defensive." And I said, "But they are so attacking me." And he said, "Yeah, but they can't hear a thing you're saying because of your defensiveness." Now remember in verse 2 again, what it says there about why God tests us. It says, "And test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commandments." So when I was being defensive, what was in my heart? Fear. Plain and simple. Not faith. I mean, there's a powerful group of people in that board. And I flunked that test. I was humbled. But I grew so much in it. That elder was a counselor, and I took the whole staff, my whole staff to him. I was frightening, but it was rich, growing experience. See, the fiction about Christian maturity is just kind of, you know, it's a graph like so. I guess for you, I should go like this. But really, that isn't what it's like. It's more of a spiral. You know, you're going along, you learn this, you're humbled, you learn these things, and you come back there in the same lesson. Oh, I got to relearn that again, or I got to apply it differently now, and the spiral. But through that spiral, God is using it to build more muscular faith in you. Those experiences that you can learn from and build on for the future. Being senior pastor of that church, working with that staff, that board, so many incredible people, that's one of the great privileges of my life. But only because in those 13 years, God so often forced me to learn new disciplines, be humbled, to be testing my faith, to keep it growing. There was one period I was begging God, anywhere but here, anything, I'll do anything, get me out of here. And he refused. And he left me there to grow and become a better person. That's often the way he works. Now, I've told you several stories about myself. You know, we spend so much time posturing in front of people that we give each other the impression that maybe the Christian life doesn't have these moments that force us to grow. You ever wonder why the Bible talks about telling us to confess our sins one to another? It's simply that, saying, "Oh, I failed here. I had to grow. This is my process. Here's what I'm learning right now." Sharing those things with each other help us overcome just everything that we show on Facebook or on Instagram or all the heights of our lives, the mountaintop experiences, and not realizing what it took to get us there. It never stops. All your life. I saw my parents, my parents were missionaries. And then they retired at the end of that, and they had tremendous ministry. And then my mother got Parkinson's. She was the nurse. She was the one who, the caregiver. She was the nurturer. Now my dad had to nurture her as she was reduced almost to an infant in ability to care for herself. And I saw in my father, I saw maybe his most eloquent lesson that he ever delivered, certainly one of his top examples that he ever gave to me. As he served his wife for 10 years, it's like God told him, okay, now you're going to develop a new skill, a new ability, and he did. There's nothing I respect him more in his memory than what he did then. So, what ticket to the promised land are you traveling on? I'm 76. I've had so many tastes of heaven in life. And I can look back and see how much of it was in spite of or because of the bewildering experiences that I had in life, that God used to coach me up, to teach me, to make me better. More what he created me to be, more what I needed to be, stronger. And even now, I'm no different than you. Maybe as early as this week, my wife, my family might have to say, you remember what you told those people? You know? Because I may be facing a new wilderness experience. That's what life is. You're never exempt from it because God's got unfinished business in your life. So it'll be kind of like JV practice, tryouts. God hands you a jump rope. Don't say, but nobody else is having to jump this. Start jumping. Your Father God wants to bless you beyond your imagining. He wants to do great things in your life. And do you want to know the best that life has to offer? Embrace the wilderness. Lord, only you know what each of us is facing and dealing with. And only you know what you want to accomplish and how you want to bless. Help us to become more and more of the kind of person that you can bless and do great things through. To your glory and praise, and to our great joy, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.